Did you guys enjoy the burritos tonight? I enjoyed burritos. I guess we get ice cream later. I'm looking forward to that. I'm very food motivated, which is, as we've discussed, a very human thing. We're right in the middle of a series we introduced 2 weeks ago called Purposefully Human. And I talked a little bit about what it means, you know, just that God designed with purpose this thing called human beings. And he designed a lot of different things into these people where we're, you know, I said we're going to talk about what it means to work. God designed work. What it means to actually have relationships with one another and friendships as human beings. And then simple things that we just sort of take for granted and we tend to separate from what is spiritual, like eating, food, or resting, sleeping. You know, we sleep away a third of our life, and it seems like there's not really a whole lot of spiritual stuff in that. And as human beings, we take this kind of dualistic approach to life, where we separate out what we think is better, maybe, or more divine, or more holy, or more sacred, and then we take the things that are a little bit more human, the biology of human beings in our excrements and our food intake and our even some of our relationships with other people. We say, you know, and our work, right? Vocations, we compartmentalize it. We say, that's something other, you know, unless we're like in a full-time ministry job and then we go, oh, okay, well, I've kind of unified my secular and sacred together. And tonight we're going to talk about work. And as of about a week ago, it looked like I had kind of drawn this message. And I was thinking, as I was thinking about what I would say, I was thinking, you know what, we're talking about the fact that most of us have kind of a dualistic approach to this. And if you end up as an engineer, it's really easy to compartmentalize that and say, well, that's not very spiritual, and then you kind of just spiritualize your church life. And for me personally, the vocation I've chosen is a ministry vocation. And so I don't really have the option of compartmentalizing that. And then therefore, maybe I wouldn't quite have the same credibility to speak about it as someone who's actually in that kind of a working world. So the first person that popped into my mind was my friend Paul Van Ryn. And there's, outside of probably my wife and my father, there's been no other person that has had as much of an effect on my life as Paul Van Ryn. He and I have been having lunch once a week for 12 years at this point, I think. And, you know, we miss weeks here and there, but it's pretty consistent. We just had lunch yesterday. And I've been in tears in front of him, and I've confessed things to him, and he's seen me angry. He's listened to my rants. He's helped out my marriage tremendously. Him and his wife have been just fantastic friends to us. And over the years, I've got to watch his life. First of all, he's a man of profound wisdom, so please listen to him tonight. Like I said, there's nobody else that's affected my world quite as much as this man at this point in my life. But I've gotten to watch him as he's worked through career choices over the last decade, through several different jobs and even switching careers. And every single time, what impressed me the most, despite some cases that were just very, very uncertain, like taking pay cuts and, you know, making job choices based on what he felt like God wanted him to do with his time rather than what would be maybe most reasonable in terms of a career. He was always interested first and foremost in what God would have for his life and what God had him doing in his spiritual family, which is first of all his family and his vocation as a husband, and then second of all his spiritual family in terms of just the whole church and what he was doing with the church. And so I think he has a lot of thoughts to share with us tonight. So I'd just like to introduce Paul Van Ryn. Come on up here. And, you know, we've been meeting once a week for years, and Paul is probably, in most respects, my exact opposite in terms of personality, and yet somehow we get along. And you know what? Honestly, the thing that binds us together the closest is both of us have just this love for our Savior and a desire to be men who have given our lives to the church.
Absolutely.
So I chose to do that via a full-time job in ministry, and he's chosen to do that via a full-time career in engineering.
Absolutely.
And so I'll just leave the stage to you.
Thanks, Travis. I wasn't sure if he's going to keep going, and then I'd just come up and pray and be done. But no, really, thanks. I appreciate that a lot. I have a great passion for talking about God. Anybody that knows me knows that I love to talk. And so it's just a tremendous privilege for me. I'm really excited to talk to you guys tonight. It's not a standard thing to be able to say I'm not a pastor and I'm sharing a message tonight. So I really, really value this. And I hope that it will be valuable for each one of you. So before I go too deep into what it is, you know, that God brought me here to say tonight, I just figured it might be good to give you a little picture of, you know, get a little context for who I am. Say a picture is worth a thousand words, and so it'd probably be good to show you as a grown adult, as a serious man that works in the world, what it's like to be in my family. So who am I? I'm that guy. Right? We take ourselves too seriously, I think, a little bit. I love to have fun, and I love to do lots of different things, but I also have come over the years to really enjoy, to love what I do for work. Why am I talking tonight? That is an interesting question. As Travis led into, I have a fair amount of work experience, but the number one reason I'm here to talk to you guys tonight is to really express something that God put in my heart, even as I was reading this this week in my quiet time. And the verse that stood out to me as I was reading through Psalms was Psalm 78:4. We will not hide them from our children, but tell them to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. As I was preparing this message, it's really easy to think through all the things. I'm an engineer. I'm analytical. I get all of the bullet points and all of the different things going on. And ultimately, it doesn't really create a story that helps people to resonate with that. So what I really would like to share with you guys is not my story, but the story that God is doing through me. I hope that that comes across tonight, and I hope that by what I share, you do not get the idea that I think I'm perfect or that I've done anything that's worthy of great praise or whatever. It's God that's done it through me. So just a little bit, I figured I would share a visual resume of where I've been. I have been in the Army. I studied at the University of Illinois. After that, during that period of time, I actually had some summer internships in Colorado Springs and LSI Logic, and then I got my first job out of college at Pinpoint Solutions in Boulder. It was a nice long 72-mile commute. And then after that, I worked at Intel for 7 years and then Seagate, and now I work at a company called Blue Margin in Old Town, and I love it. So I thought I'd share a quote. Work is the greatest thing in the world, so we should always save some of it for tomorrow, right? I know that I've felt that way before, but I'm here to talk about work. So what does purposefully human have to do with work? How do I be purposefully human and work? I just want to think for a second. I want you guys to close your eyes maybe and just picture this. You're going for a walk in a park somewhere, and you get a little bit tired, and you go sit down on a park bench. And as you're sitting there, a guy comes up and ends up sharing the park bench with you, and you look over at him, and it seems kind of familiar to you, and you think about it, and you're like, where have I recognized this guy from? And start thinking about it, you're like, oh my goodness, this guy is the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company. Like, what's he doing in this park? And he looks kind of young. I'm just really kind of surprised by this. So you're thinking through this, and you're wondering whether or not it'd be appropriate to talk to this guy. And he looks at you and smiles, and you go, okay, well, I might as well just go for it right now. So you just say, hey, are you? And he said, yeah, that's me. And so you're like, I just got to ask. You know, you seem a little bit younger than I pictured you would be. How is it that you got to be the CEO of a multi-billion dollar corporation? You know, you must have, you know, had a tremendous story. And he said, well, I have, you know, a couple, you know, decade or more of management experience. But you say, well, you know, what was it? Did you do a startup? And did you, you know, where was this? And all these things. He goes, well, actually, I managed a correctional facility. You say, what? That doesn't seem right. how did you get to that position? Did you study criminal law? What's your degree in? So, well, I don't have a degree. And now you're really entranced in this, and you notice he has kind of a subtle accent, but it's nothing too thick, and you couldn't parse through. So as you're thinking about this, you say, well, how did you get to that position? And he said, well, I actually worked my way up to the top, and you go, well, that's kind of impressive. So how is it you came to work there? And he said, well, actually, I was actually a manager at my previous job, but through some false accusations, I lost my job, and that was the only option I could get was this one. And it was not really my first precedent, but I wanted to be able to do that. So I worked hard and I did that. Okay, so what was your previous job? And he said, well, I as you can tell by my accent, I came to this country not much to offer. And the only job I could find was working for a government official. And he offered me room and board, and I did whatever he told me to do. And ultimately, over the course of time, just things worked out. And I ended up managing, just being his personal manager for a while. And you think, and you say, okay, well, how does that work? So you worked for this guy, and that was an interesting turn of events. I was actually falsely accused of something by one of the people in his household, and so I lost my job, and you go, oh, well, that's pretty rough. So, okay, so, yeah, this is, you must have a great family back home that's really supporting you and loves you a lot. And he said, actually, I came from a really dysfunctional family. We were a blended family. We didn't get along well at all, and actually, that was the reason I left the country I was born in to come here. And so, and you go, wow, this is, he comes from a dysfunctional family, he lost his job, he's working in a correctional facility. How did you do all this by yourself? And he laughs and he looks at you and he said, I didn't do this by myself. I had God. And every step along the way, I kept in mind that I was working for God. As you guys probably figured out, right, it's the story of Joseph, right? He's sold into slavery by his brothers. He is put in charge of Potiphar's house. After a while, his wife accuses him of rape. He gets convicted, obviously, goes to prison. And then he stays in prison, becomes a prison manager. Ultimately, it's not the career path I would have picked for the manager of the whole known world. But that's God's choice. So, when I look at Joseph, I see somebody who had a purposefully human idea of where he was and what God was doing through his life. So work, who invented this four-letter word? I know a lot of times I've been not thrilled to get up in the morning and do it. When I look back at Scripture, what is the first thing I read? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, creation is, maybe it's not work for God. Well, it says on the seventh day God finished his work. And that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So clearly Scripture teaches us that God does work. At least he did back then. So if God did this, did he do this on purpose? Was this a one-time thing? Well, it's interesting to look at creation because in this, God was creating patterns as well as people and animals and trees and the entire universe, right? He sets in motion the idea of days and nights, and he finds that such a critical foundation. He even created day and night before there was a sun and moon and stars. That didn't happen until day four. So what he's getting across to us is God is actually modeling for us the concept of work. Evaluate, work, evaluate. He does something, he creates something, and then he looks back and he says, oh, it's very good. It's good, it's good. He creates humanity on the sixth day, and he goes, it's very good. So God evaluates his work, but he continues to do this, right? And then we learn later, he does this on purpose because he wanted man to follow this example. He wasn't just saying, work is fun, I'll do it myself, you guys can do whatever you want. He said, no, this is an example I want you guys to follow. So what does that mean? Well, I think the ultimate conclusion is God works. If he made us in his image, then he designed us to work as well, right? It's not just that I look like God or I think like God. He also wants me to work the way he works. One of the things I wanted to mention as well is that work is not a result of sin. If you look at the Genesis example, God is working. Clearly, God does not sin. And when sin comes into the picture, God just changes the effectiveness of man's work. He says, by the sweat of your brow, you will have to, you know, he puts in thorns and thistles. He doesn't say, you get to stop working, you're not good enough. Or he doesn't say, you have to work all the time. He says, you're just going to have to work harder at it. This is what Ronald Reagan has to say. It's true that hard work never killed anybody, but I figure, why take the chance? So what has God taught me through my experience, right? God has taught me an awful lot. I have been on a journey of a work-life experience. I have potentially 19, 18 years of experience when you count the times in the Army. I've worked at school and different things. I just want to share with you guys some of the lessons that God has done, and I really want to get across the point to you that God did all of this, and he's not unaware of what your situation is, and he's not avoiding you. He's not taking a break from you. He is really trying to be there for you, and he wants to engage you in that. So the first point I wanted to share is that God cares in times of uncertainty. Through my career, we have had multiple times of uncertainty. You can ask my wife. There have been plenty of times when she could look at me and say, what are you going to do? And I say, I don't know. Right? I studied and I went to University of Illinois for electrical or computer engineering. Thought it would be an amazing degree. Thought it would be, you know, I would have it. I would be set. This would be great. And then I graduated and nothing happened because there was no work. So I waited and I waited and I looked and I submitted resumes and nothing happened. And then finally, after several months, I was able to get a contracting job, and that lasted for 9 or 10 months, and then that went away. And so all the money that I had earned in the time that we were married, Jan and I got married my last year of college, all that money we earned, we thought, this is the most money we've ever had in our life. It's in the bank account. This is great. You know what God did? He used every penny of that. And then the last week that we had money in the bank, God said, now I'll provide you a job. And I was like, why would God do that? But he had a purpose in that for me. And that was to say, your security is not in your money. Your security is in me. Right? Over the course of time, I have had some really random unemployment experiences. The last thing that happened to me was a layoff at Seagate, and I was unemployed for a total of 2 days. That's not always the case, right? There are definitely times that doesn't work out that way. The most significant time that I can recall to my mind that is in there is the idea of when we were leaving Pinpoint Solutions. It's kind of an interesting story. I felt compelled to go and apply for other jobs, and God told me, you know, you really owe it to your manager to tell him that you are looking for other work, because he's, you know, for some reason, I was like, okay, well, I don't know if that's a great idea. You know, I'm a contractor and stuff. And what happened was what I thought would happen. When I told him that, he said, okay, I'll take that as your 2-week notice. And I said, oh, no. All right, well, now it's really in motion. I don't have a job lined up. I just said I was going to go look. So I was then unemployed, and I looked around, and with that last paycheck, I looked at my wife, and I said, what do we do? Well, you know, it would be easy to not tithe this last bit of money. And then we said, wait a minute. That would be completely the wrong message. If God is really who he says he is, then he can take that tithe and he can make the rest of the money stretch. He can send money from heaven. I don't know what he can do. He can do whatever. But ultimately, I just trusted that he was going to do it. And he did provide for us. He came through with some friends and different things, and that was really great. As I said, there was a career change. Part of it is learning where you fit in your career can be difficult. I picked to be an engineer when I was 3 years old, standing in a parking spot that had my dad's name painted in it because my dad was an engineer. And so I figured I just wanted to be like my dad, and I thought a really cool parking space would be great. 35 years later, that wasn't quite as compelling to me, right? It wasn't quite the same story. I did not see the blessing in my career that I thought I would see. I was a good student, and God had typically blessed me in that. But I didn't see that blessing. I did not progress to the level that some of my coworkers or colleagues or classmates had. And so that was a challenge for me. And I started to realize and really reevaluate in my mind, what does God want me to do? Where does he want me to go with this? And so it was a fun journey. It was a challenging journey for my wife, especially, as I studied for hours and worked a full-time job and did other things. So definitely have been through some career changes. And I've also, in very honest truth, I have also had times in my career where I haven't been the best employee that I possibly could have been. And in that, God still was able to work through me. I have gotten a negative review before. Each of those situations, I have had a situation where I started my last job and I thought, you know, God has led me through this. This has been amazing. He told me he's going to bless me. And the first thing that happened was it didn't go well. It went really bad. Ultimately, it went so bad that I got to the point where my manager called me in and he said, "Hey, Paul, I'm going to tell you this. If you can't change how you're working or how we communicate," because I was working diligently at that point in time. "If you can't change how we communicate in 4 weeks, I'm going to ask you to leave." And I said, "Okay, well, this isn't exactly how I imagined the job that God called me to do being." But he had a point in it. And his point in it was, who are you working for? Who do you trust for this job? I gave you this job, but are you trusting in the job or are you trusting in me? And so ultimately, I had to just say, "God, it's yours. If you want to take this job away, I'm okay with that because you can provide for me." And that day, God turned the whole thing around. It wasn't because I was so amazing. It was because I realized that God is the one in control and he doesn't need my job to provide for me. He just does it. Another thing that I've learned is that God can help you balance the tension between vocations. What I get paid to do is a very small part of what my vocational bandwidth is. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a worship leader, I've been a small group leader, I'm a Summit View church member, I'm a friend. Travis talked about doing lunches together. It takes work. There are plenty of people here who do lots of work that they never get paid for. There's lots of work that you could never quantify how much you would get paid to get to do it. But one of the things I've always strived to do through in my time of engineering and in what God has called me to do has been to realize that my vocation encompasses far more than just what I get paid to do. And so if there was going to be a sacrifice where somebody said, "If you want to be successful in your engineering career, you need to work 90 hours a week," I just said, "No, I can't do that because I believe that God will do that for me. He will take care of me. He will put me in that place where I can be successful." And I have never regretted that. I can guarantee you that my kids have never regretted that, and my wife hasn't either, and my friends. I love hanging out with my friends. I don't want to be working all weekend. I want to be here at church. I want to be doing those things. I want to be talking to you guys, right? This is awesome. I would rather not be working right now. So what about a dream job, right? No one's dream job involves a kiosk. A lot of times in the world that we live in, it's easy to think about, "I want the perfect job. It's going to be amazing." You know, Paul's talking about he really loves his job. Well, not every occupation and not every part of your occupation will be your favorite thing. That's just how work goes. it's okay, right? Because the not so fun times still serve a purpose, right? If we look at Joseph's life here, we see what Joseph's perspective was. For all those times, he spent a total of, I think, 13 years between when he was arrived in Egypt and when he got promoted to be the manager of all of the known world. This is his perspective to his brothers, who said they were really sorry for selling him into slavery, which they should have been. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. This guy gets it. He gets the idea that what you do as a Christian working in the working world, whether that is raising children or spending time pursuing a relationship or getting paid to do something that's really great or something that's really menial, is all defined by who you work for. Joseph worked, and he never lost perspective of the idea that God was in control of his career, and his primary manager was God himself. Another thing that I have learned is that God doesn't go on vacation or take breaks, right? When I was going through those times of uncertainty, God didn't stop working. God was still working in my life. He was still doing amazing things. He was still understanding the pressure that I felt when there was no job and there was a house payment coming due and there were kids potentially to feed and all that kind of stuff. But I can honestly tell you, in all of my times of unemployment, I have never missed a meal, I've never missed a bill, and I've never missed a previous job. I didn't wish I could go back. I knew that in all of those things, God was doing something amazing. As I was talking with my wife about this the other day, she pointed out the concept. She said, every single time you have changed your job, God has done something even better for you. That doesn't mean that it was all perfect. It doesn't mean that I was amazing at everything that I did. In fact, for years, I wondered if there was something wrong with me because I thought engineering was where it was at in that kind of thing. And God said, no, that's not where I want you. But I tried to keep in mind the idea that I could still do my best for him. And when he really spoke to me and kicked that into high gear, it made me really think a lot about that. The last thing that's really important to me is the idea that God is a great boss and he provides ridiculous benefits. Right? Colossians 3:23 tells us that whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward, and you are serving the Lord Christ. I think God giving you an inheritance is a pretty untouchable perk, right? A reward for what you do. The thing I love about this is that there's no qualification for what the type of work is that you do. The requirement is that you work for the Lord. So if you work at McDonald's, or if you work at Blue Margin, or if you work at home, it doesn't matter what you do. The context is if you work for God, you will get the inheritance here. He is, not that you earn it from him necessarily, but the idea that he's giving you the inheritance, you should want to work for him. God is a worker. God does this. He didn't stop working. Jesus says, as he's talking to the Pharisees, he's like, my father is still at work, and so am I, to this day, and so am I. God is working, right? Every day that we work, we have the opportunity to engage with an almighty God, and we can bring him honor by working for him first. Joseph really exemplifies that, and I really think that it's important to keep that in mind. So what are the implications to you? First of all, do you have a personal relationship with God? God is amazing to think about. And God loves you, and God wants to help you. But if you're not his child, working for him doesn't work. Ultimately, you need to be part of his family first. And we'd love to talk to you. There's several of us, plenty of us, that would love to talk to you more about that if you want to know him. If you are a Christian, if you have accepted, you know, God into your life, ask for him to forgive your sins. Are you purposefully engaging with God in your work, whatever that may be? Right? You don't have to be any specific age. You don't have to be any gender, any race, right? You just have to be part of God's family. And he will be part of what you do. He wants to work alongside of you, and he wants to work in you. God is a working God, and it's exciting because we get to do it with him, right? We want to be part of something bigger than us. So that would be my challenge to you tonight. Can you engage with God in that way? Can you really enjoy the fact that even if it's not fun, God works there with you, right? Even if it is fun, doesn't mean that it's all a drag. It can be great fun, but you still need to put limits on that and say, okay, there's other things I need to do. Can you really be part of something bigger and understand that your vocation goes into other things? Having the right attitude is a big part of this, and you can't do it without having the idea that God is the best manager you could ever have, and he is looking out for your best interest. So I'm going to just pray, and then we'll have Mark come up and share some announcements here, but thank you for letting me talk. God, I just thank you for the opportunity to work. I thank you for the effort that you have displayed in all that you do, that your work, your work really is the best quality. It's the best stuff. When I look at the world around me, I just see amazing things that you did. I thank you for the opportunity that we can work alongside of you and that you're personal and that you know us and that you desire to help us see you and even in the menial tasks that we do. I pray that you'd help each one of us to engage with you fully and really enjoy the fact that you love us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.